If you've lost a loved one, and I imagine just about everybody here this morning and listening this morning has lost a loved one, some even during this COVID-19 season. Because I find this text in 1 Thessalonians 4 one of the most comforting, encouraging, and hopeful and helpful texts in all of Scripture when we experience a time of loss. And as you know, our theme as we've been looking at 1 Thessalonians is looking at the encouragement that we have in the Lord.
So I trust that today's text will be an encouragement and comfort
to all of you who might have lost loved ones, whether it's been
recently or even decades ago. But what I also hope is that as you hear this text, that this morning, this October 18th, might be your spiritual birthday when you come to Him. Because
this text, as
comforting and encouraging as it is and it is meant to be, if you do not know Jesus Christ, it might be one of the most terrifying friends. And it seems what he is doing in this text is correcting an error that has infiltrated the church. Some people were concerned that if a family member passed away before Jesus came again, that family member might be lost forever. It might have been that some teachers were teaching error, saying that Jesus is coming again, because after all, Jesus is away, and one would be taken up when Jesus comes again. So somehow, some people believed that you needed to be alive when Jesus came again, or you would be lost. And so when we study a letter in the Scriptures, oftentimes, we who are studying the hermeneutics, the exegesis, all of the study that write the letter, it seems that Paul gives us a good reason why he wrote to the Thessalonians right here. The occasion of the letter is they needed some encouragement to believe correctly that neither life nor death can separate us from the love of God. And that people who die in the Lord actually won't miss the coming of Jesus when he comes again in all his glory and power, but they'll be the first beamed up. You with me? Let's look at the text from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Brothers and sisters, he's uninformed. He probably won't get as upset if I say, Nick, you're ignorant. Brothers and sisters, see, you feel better already, don't you? Aren't you glad you came today? Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. Now, if you read the authorized version, it says fallen asleep. A sleeping is a euphemism for passing away. Years ago, I taught a workshop for parents of children on how to deal with grieving and death. Now, Paul lived before all this psychology came around, so I'll give him a break here. But for those of you with parents who are parents or grandparents, I kind of recommend you don't use the sleep euphemism with your children. If you want them to go to bed at night, you with me? If you want them to go to bed at night, you don't say at the funeral, you sleep in that box. And why are they going to close that box? And why are we going to go to the cemetery and put that box in the ground? Mom, I am not going to bed tonight, because if that's what going to sleep means, I'm not going to do that. We all have euphemisms for death, partly because we're uncomfortable talking about death. Be careful, parents, grandparents, that you don't use a euphemism that will come back to bite you. Well, I guess Grandma became an angel. Well, number one, that's not theologically correct. Angels are a whole different race of beings. When you and I die, we don't become angels. My wife would tell you, I'm not even an angel now, so why would that happen then with him? You know what? If you're a 7-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 16-year-old kid, you need your dad. Don't give answers that are, number one, not comforting, but also not correct. I wish Paul would have just said, I don't want you to be uninformed about those who die. At least the NIV didn't say just those who sleep, but those who sleep in death. I still wouldn't use that. I would say, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who pass away, who have no hope. You see, only in Jesus Christ do we have hope that there's life after death. Eternal life, joyful life, meaningful life. And here's the gospel. Remember we talked about how the gospel is always central? Here's the gospel. I don't really pay attention to the words when I'm playing the trumpet. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have died in him. Those who have died, again, we'll let go of the fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word. In other words, Paul is saying this is what Jesus said. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have an assistant. He's not going to send a messenger. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. With the voice of the archangel and with the although there's a lot of percussion in the Hebrew scriptures. No piano, strings, yes, percussion. I guess piano is a combination of percussion and strings. But God's favorite instrument with the he hears me play, but with the trumpet call of God and the dead in thanks, finally he uses dead, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive at the coming of Jesus and left will be caught up together. Maybe you've heard this Greek word here, caught up, parousia. Parousia, caught up together with them in the clouds. That's why Billy Graham used to say, I love a cloudy day. It was cloudy yesterday morning, remember? Billy Graham, if he was still here, he would say, I love a cloudy day. Why did he love a cloudy day? Because it reminded him that when Jesus comes, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them. Who are the them? Those who have died in Christ. They're not still in the grave. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. That's good news. You should applaud the good news. Don't make me beg. Therefore, what's the therefore? Because we're going to be with the Lord forever. Those who have died in Christ and those who will be alive if Jesus comes today. Most of us here are alive. And so therefore, because we're going to meet the Lord in the air, both the dead in Christ and those who are alive in Christ, therefore we encourage one another by the next great gospel event we are waiting for. Jesus is coming again. That's the next great gospel event. So what do I mean by gospel events? Well, believe it or not, in a couple of months, we celebrate a gospel event. Jesus was born. And then we remember as we get to Good Friday, later on in 2021, that Jesus died for our sins. And then we remember that he was buried and that he rose again. A gospel event. He ascended into heaven, where right now he's preparing a place for you and me. Those are the gospel events in the past. He was born. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. What is the next gospel event on God's calendar? Jesus coming again. Maybe the old gospel song said, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Come follow me, and you say, yes, Lord, I will follow Jesus. I will put aside my way. I'll stop living for my own self, and I will live for you because you called me. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you're coming again, and I will follow you all the days of my life. Then that's good news for you. But if you've never heard his call and responded to that call. Now, you can hear the call today. I'm telling you the call. I'm a herald. That's what the word preacher originally meant. A herald. Announcing goodness on the radio. All you need to realize is that the gospel is for you. That right now, Jesus is calling you. That right now, he's saying, come to me. Come follow me. Whether it's like Peter and Andrew and James and John, come follow me from your fishing business. Or like Matthew, the tax collector, come follow me from there. Or like Paul, who is an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, come follow me. That's the gospel. You see, my friends, we have hope because we have the gospel. It always starts with the gospel. Being a follower of Jesus Christ doesn't mean you go to church every week. Doesn't mean you were baptized, confirmed, that you have a box of offering envelopes. Being a follower of Jesus means that you've been united with him because you believe that he died for your sins, that he was buried, and that on the third day he rose again, and that he's coming again for you. Just saying, okay, Jesus is Lord. No, you got to be in the context of Romans. The Romans had to say every day, Caesar is Lord. Caesar is my master. In Rome, you would say, I pledge allegiance to Caesar. Caesar is my Lord. Paul says, no, no, no. And Paul says, I pledge allegiance to Jesus the Savior. I will follow him. If you confess your mouth, Romans 10, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, in your soul, in your being, that God raised him from the dead. There you go, the gospel. The resurrection is the key to our faith. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, let's close up shop here. Let's close it up. There's better things we can do on a Sunday than come here if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. But Jesus was raised from the dead. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. We have the gospel. We have the gospel. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, those who die in Christ, those of you have loved ones who died in Christ, those of you have loved ones who heard him call and they've confessed with their mouth Jesus is Lord and they believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they have been rescued and they are now in the presence of Jesus Christ. Carlene, Job is in the presence of Jesus Christ right now. He's in the presence of Jesus Christ because he believed. You have that hope. If you're here this morning and you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you've not said, yes, Lord, I'll give you the opportunity to do so at the end because that's what a herald does. Here's the good news. Will you respond to it? You see, my friends, every one of us needs to be encouraged by the next great gospel event we're awaiting. Jesus is coming again. Secondly, we have hope because there's life after death. Now, some people believe, and they have the right to believe that. People have the right to be wrong. Some people believe that this is all there is. This is all it is. Go for the gusto. That's kind of an old phrase from back in my day. Take what you can get. The Bible teaches that we are the most pitiful people on the planet. Men and women gave their lives for the gospel. I'm telling you that no one gives his or her life for a lie. If you say to me, you say that the sky is green or I'm going to behead you, I'll say the sky is green. I'm not going to give my life for the sky being green. I will lie and say the sky is green to keep my life. But if you say to me, you deny the Lord Jesus Christ, or we will put you against the wall.
My son, by the way, my son Tim
is in Poland this week. He's filming a documentary for CNN on the Holocaust. He sent us pictures of Auschwitz. Some of the saddest pictures I've ever seen. Where some of my relatives, and I don't know about Auschwitz, but way back when my German relatives were there because Jewish, you know, their lives were. I'd like to think I would say, no, I will not bow the knee. I will not say, see, Lord. Jesus is Lord. Thousands upon thousands of people have given their lives for that. Ask me to lie about something inconsequential to save my life? Maybe I would. The sky is green. But ask me to deny my Savior and Lord, I will not do that. The gospel is true. There is life after death. Paul goes on further and says that when Jesus comes again, he will bring those who have died, not fallen asleep, those who have died. Where is Job now? Where is my mother now? Where is Nancy's mother and father now? Where is Pastor Bafour's brother now? Well, Paul says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And so somehow spiritually they're with Jesus. But at the second coming, we, those who have died in Christ, will be raised from the grave. Their bodies, as Peter said, will put on that which is incorruptible. Their souls and their body will be united, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. There is life after death. And Paul teaches us that those who have died in Christ will be raised with him. He will bring their souls from heaven to be united with their bodies, and we will sing this song of triumph that's found in 1 Corinthians 15. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Forget it. Not too late. Not too late. Talk about the dead in Christ. And heaven's not going to be boring. You know what's going to be boring? People, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to go. Not that Dante was biblically correct, but the devil is up to his neck in ice in the pit in the center, the lowest level of hell. Hell is the loneliest, most boring place that there ever will be, because God created us for community. God created us as brothers and sisters in family. Hell is the opposite of all that. Loneliness, suffering, despair, all eternity. Heaven won't be boring. Everybody knows C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the rest of them that are a picture of, you know, Aslan, the lion, is a picture of Jesus who gives his life for us. A lot of people don't know his space trilogy, the fiction book that is a picture of heaven, where it's new and fresh every day, the planet Paralandra. And when a person eats the fruit in Paralandra, it tastes like they're eating it for the first time. Heaven, now I'm not sure heaven's going to be exactly, but C.S. Lewis is pretty good at giving us a picture of things. Read the space trilogy and see the gospel in there, just like the gospel's in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. There's life after death. You see, my friends, every one of us needs to be encouraged by the next great gospel event we're awaiting. Jesus is coming
again. And I guess I've
got to spend a little time on that, right? We have hope because Jesus is coming again. What does Paul say? You know, I can picture, you know, Jesus himself said when people were saying, can you tell us when you're coming again? Can you tell us the day? Can you tell us the hour? And Jesus said to his followers, he said, neither the angels nor the Son of Man. In other words, Jesus says, I don't even know the day, the hour. Now put that in your theological bent and see how that goes. You can't answer that pretty well. I know I can't. Jesus says, neither the angels nor the Son of Man know the day or the hour, but only my Father in heaven knows. This might not be biblically correct, but I can picture Jesus saying, now, he's above time and space, so I'm limited by time and space. So I have to talk with you within the limits that I have, because there's no tomorrow in heaven. It's eternal today. But I can't wrap my intelligence or the lack thereof around that. Yeah, you laugh. But I could pick. Jesus says,
today, August 18, 2020.
Boy,
let's get them out of 2020. Today, Father says, no, not yet.
Why? Why not today? There's
more people that I want to come into my family.
Because if I come today,
anyone
who's not
said Jesus is Lord,
who has not believed in their heart that God raised them from the dead,
they're not going to meet you and their Jesus.
They're
going to be lost. I know how many
we're going to adopt into our family. August 19th,
today, Lord? What did I say?
Say it what?
No, I got in my DeLorean.
October 19th.
Yep,
he hit in. October 19th.
Today, Lord?
Today? Should we get?
Should I shout?
Should we get Gabriel? Play the horn.
Maybe
Friday, October 23rd.
Imagine if
it was this Friday.
I'm
making a prophecy because you know false prophets are stoned to death if they give a false prophecy. I'm not making a prophecy. October 23rd. Jesus comes. Again, this is in my imagination. This is not biblically correct.
Jesus is Father.
How about today, October 23rd? Friday.
It's Friday. They need a break.
It's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday, Lord.
Okay. I feel like I'm at a
high school football game. Bring back memories.
A loud command. That's
the voice of the king. The voice of the archangel. Michael is called the archangel in the Hebrew scriptures. One archangel, that means Michael is
the general
of the Lord's army. The trumpet call of God. In the Hebrew scriptures,
the trumpet was
used. God actually had Moses, when he built the tabernacle in the temple, he had Moses build silver trumpets because the old ones were made out of
ram's horns. They were called shofars. But God needed more volume to call the people together to assemble. So he had Moses build two silver trumpets. And the trumpets were used to summon God's people. And then we're told that all the believers are caught up in the clouds, defying gravity. Oh, that's impossible. That's impossible. Jesus rose from the grave. There's nothing impossible for him. We will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The word meet that's used in the original language is, and you come in with him. You welcome him in. Just like when Jesus on the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, they didn't wait for him to come to Jerusalem. They went out and came in with him. That's the dead in Christ and those who are alive, meeting him in the air, coming in and bringing him in to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then other scriptures tell us that after this meeting, wicked. And we in Christ, the dead in Christ and those who are alive, we will receive our reward for all eternity, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Jesus is coming again. See, every one of us needs to be encouraged by the next great gospel event that we're awaiting. Jesus is coming again. And finally, we have hope, and we need to be there for each other. What do we do until Jesus comes again? Well, Paul says, therefore, that was rhetorical, therefore, encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other. So, you're having a bad day. Yeah, we're still in this world, but Jesus is coming again. One day, death will be swallowed up in victory. One day, there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more death. I also want to encourage those who've not come to Jesus yet. Because if, I'm not saying it's going to be Friday, October 23rd. But if the king shouts, and the archangel says charge, and the trumpet of the Lord will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive will meet the Lord together in the air, if you have not yet said Jesus is Lord, if you have not yet believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be lost. That's why I do what I do. That's what why I've been in this job for over 40 years now. Started very young. We're going to sing a song in a moment. I'm going to tell you the story of this song. Horatio G. Spafford wrote the words to this song. Philip Bliss wrote the tune. Horatio Spafford was a successful lawyer and businessman in Chicago with a lovely family. His wife Anna and five children. They weren't strangers to the suffering that we have in this world. A few weeks ago, I mentioned the great Chicago fire in 1871. Before the waters to England on a French ocean liner on November 21st, a few weeks later, there were 313 passengers on board. And among those passengers, of course, was Anna Spafford and their four daughters. Iron-hulled Scottish ship. And suddenly all those on board were in grave danger. She was tired and struggling herself. And finally, the fourth child slipped away. A sailor rowing a small boat over the spot where the ship went down spotted a woman floating on a piece of wreckage. It was Anna Spafford, by a larger vessel, and 9 days later, 9 days after watching her children lost in the Atlantic, drowned, 9 days later, they landed in Wales, the place where the children went down. And then a daughter who grew up and did many wonderful acts of kindness to people. According to Bertha, the daughter that came to the Spaffords, the guy who wrote the tune, Philip Bliss, was a musician of D.L. Moody. They were going to England. Philip Bliss wired D.L. Moody and said, I'm coming to Chicago. Because he would write music of my soul. As Philip Bliss and his wife were on the train to Chicago, they were crossing a gorge or canyon, something like that. And the bridge to the train collapsed. And the was caught under the wreckage, dying. And Philip Bliss could have and can experience a tragedy, can say, it is well with my soul. I love the last verse. And Lord, haste the day when faith shall be sight, when the clouds like the sea billows roll, the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord will descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Only a person to stay with a dying wife. I guess my question for you is this. What hope do you have? It's going to sound on October the 23rd. It could be today.
It could be 2021 or 3021.
The point is, are you ready? It could happen at any moment. Right now, would you just pray with me in the quietness of this moment? God, I don't understand everything. I'm not a Bible scholar. But I know that I want to be ready for when the trumpet sounds. So right now, in the quietness of this moment, I want to say Jesus is Lord. I want to pledge my allegiance to Him because I hear days of my life.
While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed here in the room,
if you just said those words with me, it doesn't matter the words, God knows your heart. If you said those words with me, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor Roger, I confess Jesus is Lord with my mouth and I believe in my heart the gospel. I'm a follower of Jesus now. Anybody? Just raise your hand and say, Pastor Roger, I believe. Anybody? Okay. If you're listening online, you can just put a comment in the comment section and say, I believe. I believe. Father God, thank you for the truth of the gospel for us. And we pray this in His precious and holy name.